All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you, he's your buddy, he loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine, and he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work, and he watches practice. He takes pride in you know, getting the story correct, and he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
Happy Thursday, a training camp Thursday on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz here with Lee DeKemper with JoeBucksFan.com. And of course, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is with us, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Before we get rolling, we have to thank your presenting sponsors, Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. At Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, the summer sales challenge is almost over. Don't miss made-to-move clearance savings like a sporty 2017 ATS sedan lease for only $299 a month. Hurry to Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, just west of I-275 on Fletcher, or click edmorescadillactampa.com. Give them a call, 844-746-0513, but get it started at edmorescadillactampa.com. And also, Ira, at Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, they too have great savings. The Made to Move 2017 clearance event continues. As we talked about last week, the car business, the car operation is moving into 2018. This is a great time to buy a vehicle. Great opportunities with Cadillac. Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. Check them out. And Mr. Kaufman, it is good to talk to you.
Steve, you know, we might be going up to Jacksonville together through all those speed trap towns, Stark, Citra, and I might lean on you to perhaps lease a Cadillac from Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. I'm sure they'll give one of Joe Buck fans' leading lights a little deal. And that's what's great about both. Lee, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are, whether it's Isbitz, the Kemper, somebody off the street that they don't know. They're gonna put you in a Cadillac, Lee. They're gonna make it happen, no matter your financial situation.
You're going overboard.
Yeah, I like how he invokes my name with off the street and financial situation.
you make it sound like a scholarship to summer camp. But don't worry, no matter what, we'll get you in there.
Well, that's what good dealerships do, and that's why they've been so successful. So,
well, Ira, these people are quality top notch because usually when I walk into a car dealership, it's a funereal type atmosphere.
Yeah.
There's the word for the day. Funereal. Not funeral. Funereal.
Kaufman, we are here live at One Buck Palace doing our thing. We are 1 day, 2 days actually, since we're recording on Wednesday, but we're coming up to the first preseason game. Now, Kaufman, sage wisdom, you've watched these preseason games back when there used to be 6 preseason games so guys could really get in shape.
And now Goodell wants 3 preseason games.
Now they're thinking of cutting back. You know, obviously, off-season programs have changed. Players are in shape year-round. It's a different ball game. But Bucks, Bengals, let's get right at it, Ira. Give me 5 things you're looking for in this game.
Well, I'll tell you the first thing I'm not looking for, scoreboard. Not looking at it. Who can forget? Who can forget Rod Marinelli's Detroit Lions?
Lee. I'm sure there are people in Detroit that would love to forget.
Steve, 4-0 in the preseason, 0-16 when the bullets were flying. I mean, nobody remembers what the Buck record, the 2002 Bucks preseason. They were probably 2-2. I believe they got shellacked by Steve Spurrier's Redskins in the 3rd preseason game. And if any preseason game has any interest at all, it's the 3rd one. And I believe they lost 40-14 at Raymond James Stadium. Spurrier's Redskins came in and plashed at them. Who cares? Who cares? Doesn't matter. So what am I looking for?
So first we have...
I'm telling you what I'm not looking
okay,
for.
Okay, so we started what you're looking for with what you're not looking
That's
for.
That's correct.
So, okay, so now,
I always back into these things, Lee. You know that.
Give us
and I find my way, and then I get back to the question.
Give us your 5.
Well, I was going to look for Ali Marpet at center with Geno Atkins towering over him, but now Marpet hasn't practiced the last 2 practices. Now I don't know if he's playing on Friday. I think the 3 of us kind of look at each other and say, why play him if he's not 100%? So there goes number 1. That leads me to another rookie, Kendall Beckwith. I want to see him. I don't care if he starts. I don't care if he doesn't start. But I want to see him running free and easy like I have out here for 2 weeks. He's a heat-seeking missile to the football. He probably should have been a second-round pick. they would have known he would have made this kind of comeback from knee surgery, he would have been a second-round pick. So I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Vernon Hargraves being a little more aggressive. I don't think we're going to see much of Jameis Winston, but I think he'll throw a couple of long balls to DeSean Jackson just to show Buck fans that he can. And in the words of Jameis, it's tough to overthrow DeSean Jackson. We'll see if he can. So I want to see Sweezy. I want to see Sweezy at right guard. There's no reason to think he's not playing at least a couple of series. I want to see him limber, movement free and easy. So, you know, it's the first exhibition game. I think they're just going to feel liberated, Steve, because they've been banging on each other for 2 weeks. Hey, here's another group to bang on. And, of course, the highlight will be the pregame handshake between Cutter and Marvin Lewis. They're best buddies. They are best buddies, Lee, going way back to Pocatello, I believe. I hear Marvin has overcome his cyst on his knee. But the big story, Steve, the big story to me in training camp, I wrote about it in my last column. This is the good ship Lollipop, gentlemen. And I don't want to be blamed if something happens. I mean, Grimes went down with a laceration. No big deal. But, Steve, remarkably healthy. Even Cutter says it. And he wanted to knock on wood the other day. And what does he do? He knocks on my head. Now, part of that is I was the closest one to him. But part of it was he thought I was made out of wood, the Kemper. Is that enough of an answer for you?
Well,
it was a rollicking answer to a rollicking question.
For our readers who are not part of the class of 49 like yourself, can you explain what the good ship Lollipop is?
Well, that is a throwback.
I think that might have been a Shirley Temple movie or
it
something.
It was.
I think it was.
Right.
And maybe Midlife might have had a cameo in that movie. But what it means is, Lee, things are going swimmingly. And they are. I mean, other teams losing guys. Donald Penn's not showing up in Oakland. They got championship aspirations. The guy's holding out. He'll be back. But the fact is he's missing time, quality time with a young quarterback. You know, Tannehill goes down. Other guys are hurt. Contract disputes. None of that. None of that at one Buck place. So Jason and Dirk, every time they pass something that's wood, they better knock on it because I don't think they could ask for it going any better. And we just had Hard Knocks, and I didn't see much controversy out of that either, Lee.
This rollicking answer Ira gave, good ship Lollipop, it's like 1930s. I think that's when my dad was in high school.
I got, you know, my people relate to these things.
Do your people have electricity in your house?
Javier knows the good ship Lollipop in Panama City. Now, come on.
All right, Ira, look.
You're asking me what to look for in an exhibition game.
Well, I'm getting a vibe from you. I'm getting a vibe from you that this preseason game is a throwaway, that the Bucs don't have a lot to evaluate here.
It's not a throwaway if you're the fifth cornerback or the fourth safety.
Or the immortal Riley Bulla.
Or one of the two kickers, I might add. Yes, and that's some intrigue because they've had their ups and downs. I think if the cameras weren't rolling, and you and I had Dirk Cutter behind closed doors, he'd say, I'm fed up with both of them.
I was going to bring that up. You're
right. I'm fed up with both of them, Steve. I want somebody to take this job, not shove it, take this job, and nobody's doing it. That puts more of an onus on the preseason games.
I'm asking your opinion, your sage advice, your insider knowledge. Do you think at one point, what you're just talking about, you think Cutter has gone up the light and say, hey, man, you got to keep looking. You got to keep surfing for another
kicker. Interesting. I think that's prematurely, but I understand where you're going. You got two guys. None of them look like they want to win this job, Steve. You got big expectations, close games all the way. You know, there's going to be a game that comes down to the last 2 minutes in 2017, maybe a handful of them. And somebody's going to have to make a 44-yard field goal, and Cutter's going to have to send that guy out with confidence. And I tell you what, there's going to be a conversation with Light if this continues.
Ira, up and down.
All right, give me your absolute contrarian view of which you have mastered.
Look, this is a function. This whole conversation is a function of us being totally ridiculously hypersensitive to what kickers do in practice. Do you ever remember paying so close attention to kickers in practice? Point is, they miss kicks all the time.
I remember a team where a guy missed 9 field goals the year before.
And a second-round pick on top of it.
Exactly, but kickers miss kicks in practice all the time. I understand where Cutter was coming from. Hey, these guys, nobody's really jumped out and grabbed the job, but it doesn't mean Folk totally sucks or Aguayo totally sucks. Cutter won't say it, but what they do in these preseason games is everything. That's the pressure. Aguayo has mental issues. If he has one mental issue in the preseason, forget about it.
And that's why you think Cutter on 3rd and 17 is going to run Jacquizz Rodgers up the middle and then bring on Folk.
I think we're going to see some of that. It would be wise. Today in practice, I didn't see much of Aguayo. I saw him make one. I didn't see all his kicks. Folk was 4 out of 5 from what I saw, and he missed a 50-yarder wide. It was an awful kick, but it looked as if he was trying a different technique. Like, it wasn't a – I don't know what was going on, but – for the fans watching, they were probably horrified, but I think he knew what was like trying a different style, or you know, something you might try in the wind, or a different type of direct kick. You know, not that it was windy, but
Lee Cutter's focus. He said it the other day. We don't have to read between the lines in terms of the kickers. His focus is make the 45-yard field goal. He's not looking for 57-yard miracles from either of these two guys.
Well, you might
and
need
frankly,
that.
That's not why Aguayo was drafted. He's not known for a Janikowski-like leg. What he's known for is reliability. Last year, he wasn't reliable, Lee.
No.
And that's what Cutter wants.
It was
make
the opposite of reliable.
The kicks you're supposed to make. And whoever's going to make those 45-yard field goals is going to get this job.
What do you think of what Steve just said?
Well, I don't think much of it.
Well, okay. Well, how about this?
No matter what it is.
I'll reword it and put it out of my mouth then. You know, Steve insinuated that you and I might be a little too paranoid here about the kickers. But Steve said, you know, looked like Folk was trying a new technique. This is the 11th practice of training
new
camp.
New technique?
Yeah. Well, mind you, this is the 11th practice of training camp. We're damn near halfway through training camp. He's trying a new technique? What does that tell you?
That's
it tells
a,
me
that's
the guy's
a
panicking.
On fire over there.
Well, I didn't say new technique. My point was it was something different. So maybe he was pretending in his head that it's Green Bay and it's 50 yards and you got to hit a more driving low ball versus the standard kick, and maybe like thinking in his head that there's a swirling wind, and I, you know what I mean? Because they do use different techniques sometimes.
Maybe situational,
like
kicks.
A situational thing in his head. I don't know if it was new for him. Maybe he told coaches, "Hey, I'm going to kick this one as if we're going into the wind." You know, 30 mile an hour and it's cold. I don't know. But
hey,
he missed
Lee,
it.
I got
whatever it was, he screwed it up.
Lee, I got a situation for Nick Folk. Win the freaking job. It's being handed to you on a platter,
yeah.
So go take it.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest with you, even at this point right now as we speak, again, after the 11th practice of training camp, if I needed a kicker in Green Bay, you know what that weather is going to be like in December in Green Bay. It's going to be Folk, not Aguayo.
All right, Ira, Hard Knocks. We all enjoyed that. I watched it a couple of times. A lot of great coverage on JoeBucksFan.com on Hard Knocks. We saw your column, which astutely and sagely focused on the fact that where's the beef? You know, your average guy across the NFL is watching this thing.
You know, we're infatuated because we're in Tampa.
Right.
We want to know everything about this team.
The average viewer saw a whole lot of nothing.
You know, Jameis Winston and Bessemer, you know, with the pissing, I understand, with the getting the water.
That
cockroach,
was,
I understand.
That was
but
unsettling,
Lee,
I'm sorry.
In terms of where's the beef, and I did use that phrase in my column, and by that I mean this is HBO. This is a national show. This is the network that, you know, ripped Scientology apart. And, you know, people were talking about it for 2 weeks. Phil Spector, for those people who know Phil Spector, you know, the great producer who went haywire, you know, and probably.
I know who it is,
and
but it's
killed
like.
Somebody.
But, talk about ancillary.
But, you know, HBO's in the habit of doing provocative work. Provocative. There was nothing provocative.
Well, the NFL is not
from a national perspective.
NFL is not provocative, and I watched Hard Knocks that are replayed. You know, I, this is the first time I had HBO since The Sopranos faded to black. Literally, like 2 minutes
you said
later,
something happened to my television.
No.
Yeah.
But I always watch the Hard Knocks episodes when they're broadcast free on NFL Network the following summer. NFL is not about provocative. I mean, this is it. Hard Knocks. This is what Hard Knocks is. However, having said that. When Cutter lit into Jameis toward the end of that show, that episode, I thought that was provocative. The way he lit into him was like, whoa.
I wasn't shocked because the three of us have said in the past, and I think it's accurate, that one of the attributes of Cutter, which doesn't get a lot of publicity, but which I think is very critical, is being critical. He doesn't coddle Jameis Winston. And thank God Jameis Winston doesn't want to be coddled. Mm-hmm. You know, some guys have a tender psyche, and the guy would be scarred for life. If, you know, you say a four-letter word to the guy. He doesn't coddle Winston. I think the Glazers love that. They absolutely love that because.
Why do the Glazers care about how.
why do the Glazers care?
No,
they're all about Winston.
No, about the coddling aspect. Why would they care about that?
Because it shows that he's going to be tough at the expectations for this team and Winston. Are through the roof right now. the Bucks are getting national love all over the place. Lee, your favorite website, you know, with Kay Adams, you can't take your eyes off her. Step aside, Rachel Watson. There's a new lady in town. And look, you got to be tough with your quarterback. And thank God Winston's not thin-skinned. That relationship is the reason Cutter's got the job, and he knows it.
Very interesting.
Please about do.
The cuddling aspect, or the non-coddling
aspect. Coddling.
Kay Adams is on the mind. I'm sorry.
Trouble,
you got Kay Adams on my brain now. Chucky got in people's faces all the time. And obviously they loved Chucky until he went and drafted a quarterback. Similar situation. He's an offensive guy. Chucky was an offensive guy. Glazers like splash. Glazers like offense. And here's a guy, he's got standards.
I don't think Chris Sims could take it like Winston can. I think there's a difference there.
I just thought the development, two things I liked about last night's premiere episode. The one was the development of the relationship with Cutter. Not necessarily Cutter just skinning him alive toward the end, which I thought, that really jumped out at me. But them getting in Cutter's office and Cutter having a genuine affection and appreciation for Jameis's talent. So you're not Tom Brady. You're more like Aaron Rodgers. You know, like, whoa. And Steve wrote about that Wednesday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. I thought Steve nailed it. I thought that was tremendous, that little episode.
And of course, and the other part was the cockroach on the ground. You related to that.
You know, the backyard element, that really grossed me out. I know a lot of people liked it. That just, maybe it was just me. I thought that was gross as hell. And I thought that didn't do
what
anything.
What was the other part?
James' image, which is what Hard Knocks does. They find a guy, no one knows who the hell he is, and they make him into an interesting character. This Riley Bulla, the way he would scream F you every time he hit a blocking sled. I thought that was hysterical.
And when he made a hit on a guy, he goes, "This ain't your day, buddy." He showed a lot of swag. There's no question about
it. Yeah, he said that to O.J. Howard after he grabbed Howard's jersey just to get in position.
Yeah, he did. And then knocked the ball away.
And then knocked the ball away. Congratulations, he got a penalty.
And it's a flag. That's right.
Two things, Ira, that require your sage wisdom. First, on the Cutter-Jameis relationship. Cutter, after practice today, jumped on NFL Network and did an interview with Maurice Jones-Drew, who he knows extremely well. The two of them are obviously close. And the host from NFL Network, I don't remember his name. And they asked him a lot about Hard Knocks. And he was asked about that interaction with Jameis, that intense interaction. And Cutter said he was a little concerned how some of that stuff might come off, but he wanted to make everybody know that Jameis, he said, says to him at least, I don't know if he said 10 times a day or 10 times a week or 10 times a month. Doesn't really matter. Jameis says to Cutter constantly, coach me hard, coach me hard, coach
me
hard,
better. Yeah.
Coach me hard. And Cutter went back to what he said before, which is Jimbo Fisher coached him hard. His dad coached him hard. Jameis can take it. That's the way it is. And Jameis is better off for it. So I was surprised, since they even touched on it, that Hard Knocks didn't go deeper into that coach him hard stuff, because obviously they caught a lot more stuff. Jameis made more than just one bad play, and there were meeting room stuff that, you know, we didn't see him leaning on Jameis in a meeting room. So that was interesting. But
hold on.
What requires your sage wisdom.
I was going to stop you right here.
All right, go ahead.
Here's one aspect of what Steve's talking about, Lee. Let's not forget that Cutter said on the Joe Bucks Fan podcast in episode 3, you know, out of 7, that he wants to spend more time in the quarterback room. Mm-hmm. Because I asked him about those administrative duties that kind of overwhelmed him at times as a first-year coach. And they've hired a couple of guys to help Cutter in that regard. And he wants to be more hands-on with Jameis Winston. And I think he will be in 2017. And so Winston's going to get, you know, not that Bajakian can't get the job done. I'm not saying that. He's done a nice job with Jameis Winston. Mm. But Cutter's the man. And Cutter's words have more clout to Jameis Winston, naturally, when it comes from the head coach and the offensive coordinator, guy who's calling the plays. So I think that's another thing we're going to see this fall, is Cutter going back to being almost as involved with Winston on a day-to-day basis as he was in 2015 when Winston was a rookie.
Off the top of my head, 3 times last night in that episode, 3 different times, Cutter in the quarterback room with Jameis.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Ira, so Cutter sits, Jameis sits in his office, and Jameis says, you know, you tell me you don't want me to do too much. You know, I don't want, meaning you don't want me to press too hard and try to do too much on the field and too much anywhere. And coach, you know, what's that balance? What is too much? Define that for me. And then basically Cutter tells the guy, look, you need patience, but you also need to play like Aaron Rodgers immediately and Tom Brady. And you're, by the way, you're the only guy who can lose a damn game for us. So,
and we're going to go as far as you go.
But yeah, stay patient, and there you go. Yeah. What did you make of that?
He laid a lot on Winston's table in a short period of time there, Lee. That's what Cutter always comes back to with that fine balancing act. Lee, that's the way it is. You got a gunslinger, and that's Winston's persona.
It is.
He's more Brett Favre than he is
Aaron Rodgers.
You know, maybe even Brady.
I absolutely agree.
Yes.
I absolutely agree.
He wants to make plays downfield. He wants to squeeze balls into tight windows.
He never met a play.
You know what I thought was a tremendous line by Cutter? I thought it was the line of the night in retrospect. When he reminded Winston that when he was in Tallahassee, that team had so much talent that you could basically stink up the joint, which he did in his sophomore year three or four times. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're down 17-3.
Yeah, he brings them back.
And they overwhelm the other team because talent shows at the end. Steve, they got depth. The other team wears down. And when the smoke clears, you know, it's 44-28 FSU. And I think Cutter's point is it's not like that at this level. We don't out-talent, you know, the Miami Dolphins necessarily. It's pretty close. And you can't screw up like that. And a big part of it is better starts. And I don't mean for the team in September. It also means, remember that stat I had? I stumbled into it. I didn't know it. He's got 5 first quarter touchdown passes
in 2 years.
In 32 games.
Did that come from the bathroom when you go in with the book and your wife says you got 12 minutes?
Again with the bathroom, Steve. Well, you know, what are we back in Winston and Bessemer with the pissing and the water? Can't you get your mind, your tongue out of the gutter?
You told us that you enter the toilet with a book of stats. You said it on this podcast and your wife says Ira's going to be gone.
He doesn't forget a thing, DeKemper.
Your wife says Ira's going to be gone for 12 minutes and you come out with gems of pearls of wisdom.
See, I don't know what...
I do flush.
I don't know what's crazier, this little chatter, or the fact that you want to ride, as much as you hate his driving, you want him to drive you to Jacksonville.
Oh, I didn't say that was going to happen. It's in the planning stage.
I'm not driving. You know I'm not driving. I'm not driving. You know that.
But he's got 5 first quarter touchdown passes in 32 games. Do the math, Lee. That's not very good.
No. Well, when you brought up Favre, I absolutely agree with you. I think the best comparison as quarterbacks you can make Winston is Favre. Winston has that mentality that there isn't a play called he can't make. Who's that scream? Brett Favre. And McCarthy
and
Favre.
There's not a throw he can't
make. And McCarthy and Favre went round and round and round for 3 years probably till McCarthy finally was able to rein in Favre, and look what happened. And that's what I'm hoping happens between Cutter and James.
But Favre would throw 15 or 20 picks a year. Steve, he would.
He's the career.
And Drew Brees is like that. He tries to squeeze them in tight windows, too.
I'm 90% sure he's the career NFL leader in
picks. I believe
you're
right.
Brett Favre.
I believe you're right.
Here's the money question, Ira. The money question out of that Cutter-Jameis exchange. And it's a two-parter. Does Cutter believe that Jameis lost the Bucs games last year? Because he flat out said, hey, you can lose games. Does Cutter believe Jameis lost them games last year? And did Cutter tell Jameis last year, Jameis, you just lost us that effing game?
You're asking me to peel back that pewter curtain a little bit over there, Lee.
He asked. I didn't.
We don't know for sure. We may know down the line in retrospect if he said that. I think there were games when Cutter walked off the field, the first thing he thought of was Winston didn't play well enough. I absolutely feel
Dallas.
That way. And Dallas. Yeah, Dallas comes
with
to mind.
With that headbutt?
Dallas comes to mind. You got a defense that didn't play particularly well but kept holding up the field goals. Mm-hmm. You're in the game. They led, I believe, fairly late in that game. Winston didn't get it done in crunch time.
Rams?
And perhaps the Rams. Perhaps the Rams. When he missed Vincent Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Wide open.
Certainly. That's the first thing a coach like Cutter's going to think. He's not going to think about, we didn't put enough pressure on and Robert Ayers didn't get there on third down. He's not wired like that. He's wired about what the hell did Winston do?
Because he's a quarterback.
Did he do enough?
And he's the franchise.
And the answer is, yeah. He thought Winston might have lost them a couple of games. I don't know how fair that is. But for a coach like Cutter, yeah. And did he say it to Winston? That's kind of harsh. Steve, for a 22-year-old to look at him in the eye and say, you lost us that freaking football game? I don't think Cutter would do that to Winston.
Probably not. Parcells would have.
Parcells, yeah. I mean, Parcells did it to Sims when Sims was having a good day. Remember Sims, I think, was on video and said, I was having one of the games of my life. And Parcells came in and said, you missed a couple of passes over there, Sims. And that's Parcells. There's a difference between Parcells and Cutter.
Was it after the Rams game or Denver? I think it was Denver. Cutter was so hot under the collar. And he was complaining about Jameis, and I asked him, I said, has Jameis regressed? He said, no. But that was the same
might
press.
Have been the Denver game.
That was
might
the same press Denver conference, game. And this led to me asking that question where he's like, you know, someone asked if he's concerned about Jameis. He says, I'm very concerned. And then I asked, well, did he regress? No, he didn't regress. What is it? Either yeah, you're concerned or he didn't regress.
Well, going deeper into the nuance, one of the things in Hard Knocks, that later exchange where Cutter was yelling at Jameis and saying, what do we say about double teams? Now, I think the implication there is, hey, Jameis, we have so many weapons on the team this year, we're never throwing into double teams.
Recognize the coverage
and never do it because we ain't doing it this year. That was the
and
implication.
We don't have to.
Right.
And we don't have to.
Right. Last year they had to. That was the implication. So that's very interesting. And I think that was probably an X's and O's thing that maybe in a roundabout way they might not have wanted out there, but I thought the message was clear, Ira. I don't know what you think. Don't throw to double teams ever. We don't need to. We got weapons all over the place.
The flip side of that, Lee, is we might see less double teams in 2017 with DeSean Jackson on the other side of Mike Evans. And most of it is attached to Mike Evans, I think. Who else did they double team last
year? Well, you're making the point that I was going to make. That was a brilliant observation by Steve because –
well, that's not overboard over there.
Well, they had the outside of Mike Evans, the Bucs had, and okay, Adam Humphries was capable. Okay. But after those two guys, they had such garbage at wide receiver. Even if they were wide open, it was better off to go to Evans double and triple teamed. That's right. How terrible they were.
Exactly.
And by the way, I'm not referring to double teams here, but I thought another great line by Cutter, and he says it all the time, and he says it all the time out here too, is, you gave the guy a chance. Again, referring mostly to Evans, on occasion to DeSean Jackson. You gave the guy a chance. What does that mean? If Mike Evans is covered tightly by one guy, I'm still throwing to Mike Evans a lot of time, and I don't think Cutter would mind it if you put the ball where only Evans can get it.
Well, I wrote this.
He's that good, Evans. He's the best player on this football team,
is
in my
he?
Mind, Mike Evans.
Well, interesting you say that because I wrote this, I don't know when I wrote it, but I wrote it during training camp. It's kind of clear that Jameis throws to different receivers in different ways. With Evans, he's always throwing high because he knows he can get it. You can see this with O.J. Howard. He throws high to O.J. Howard because he knows he can get it. DeSean Jackson, he never throws high to him. Godwin, never throws high to him. So he throws different techniques to different receivers. For that,
perfect example is the crazy scramble play against the Bears. The highlight, when he finally broke free of the pack, he hoisted it up, threw it high, and Evans made a spectacular catch.
By the way, whoever wrote this for Hard Knocks, I thought the line of the night, the narration, was that play, now referring to Jameis, he's got a closer's right arm and feet for dancers or something of that nature.
Not
or
bad.
Dancer's feet. I thought that was...
Now, people have said that about you too, DeKemper.
Oh, I don't have... I can't close.
Feet.
I can't close. Trust me, I can't close.
All right, couple of pieces of business. I'm going to run through these pieces of business. First, let's all get out our phones and our laptops and visit EdmoresCadillacTampa.com, EdmoresCadillacBrandon.com. I know you're frequently tickling the keyboards, Ira, going there.
Got the shirt on again today.
You got the gear. You're wearing the gear.
Regalia.
But fantasy football. If you want to get in the new Joe Bucks Fan Hooters Fantasy Football League, it's all through our podcast, Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast. That's where you can get the details. It's free entry. There'll be a draft in St. Pete at Hooters. There'll be a draft in Tampa on Hillsborough Avenue at Hooters. Prizes, a lot of fun. Todd runs a great draft. But the details, if you want in, the details are in the podcast of how you enter free, no charge, of course.
And this is a year where a lot of Bucks are going to go high in those drafts, Steve. It's very different. Even the defense might be taken in the top 10 in terms of scoring.
Interesting.
We'll see.
Possible. But the details are there. So get in. We're trying to basically book the whole thing through the podcast. If you play fantasy football, Todd's podcast is really a chock full of good stuff. But get in. We're going to have some fun. I know I'm going to go to one of the drafts. I think we'd get the commish out to one. Maybe we get Ira to play a little fantasy football this year if he's promised some free wings and
beet salad.
Also, as we mentioned earlier, Ira, fanretreat.com/Miami. The reservations continue to pile up.
I'm looking forward to it.
Insider Q&A the night before the Dolphins game, 5:30 p.m. in Miramar, at the Hampton Inn. All the details, fanretreat.com/Miami. Free food, free beer, free Ira. Great fun before the game. Perfect for a stick carrier.
A stunning number of RSVPs, although you don't have to. You can show up if you don't RSVP.
Absolutely. Don't have to RSVP, but it would be nice to know. And of course, for planning purposes, but no problem. And that's pretty darn cool. Fanretreat.com/Miami. It's not every day you can press the flesh with Ira. Ira, happy birthday in advance. Coming up this week.
Thank you, my man.
This week, no cake.
You know, 50 only comes around once. Only once. And it came around quite a few years ago.
And it came around twice, really. Bucks fans want to watch the game tomorrow night. The stick carriers. It's going to be another night, just like that crazy draft party, Ira. Sports Legends Bar and Grill, Clearwater, US 19 and Drew Street. Good golly, get there early. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're actually working with the Buccaneers are going to be out there. The Buccaneers have really attached themselves to the stick carriers. I had a couple of meetings and got some interesting things going on there. So if you want some fan unity and some fun and some beer and some cheering for a preseason game, like it really means something, that's going to be the place to be.
Can we expect a nod to the stick carriers during the Hard Knocks episodes, Steve, upcoming? What do you think?
I think the only chance might be, well, yes, I think so. But I think it would have to be tied around Cutter. Like maybe one day they dive a little deeper into Cutter and how he feels about fans or players or just something personal on him, and maybe you get a little footage.
And changing the atmosphere at Ray J on game days. But they have video, right, Lee? They have their own video.
They're all over. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, there's a question for you, Ira. Of all people, Javier, our loyal listener, our loyal reader, Javier from Panama. Not Panama City.
The man who says, return Kaufman's beach chairs.
Well, he wanted to know, have these ne'er-do-wells who thieved your beach chairs, have they been found? Have your chairs been located?
I scoured that beach from past the grill to, you know, till the pink lady over there, to Don Cesar. I walked my feet off. Never saw anybody with those chairs. I would have gave him a what for. I might have actually got down to brass knuckles over there, Lee, but I couldn't
Brooklyn
find it.
Roots would have come out.
So
huh?
Now, you know, I got to reach into my pocket. I got to hit up Joe Bucks fan for more money in the process. I got to reach into my pocket and get another couple of beach chairs because I can't be sitting on a you know, an iron slab in that kind of heat. I'm not sitting on the sand because I can't fold my feet below me. I can't do that scissor, figure eight.
Enough visual.
Indian squatting, you mean?
So, Javier, I'm going to get some new chairs, and if I ever find those people, they're in trouble.
Enough visuals, especially knowing that you wear a Speedo to the beach, Ira. It's enough. Anybody who wants that story on Ira's...
larceny on the grill. That's right.
A larceny that...
victim of larceny.
...afflicted Ira and his bride. That's in the last podcast. You can search, get the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. And, of course, please leave a review. You know, I stop asking for people to leave reviews, Ira, and they don't leave reviews. Leave a darn review. Give Ira two sentences of feedback, even if it's find a good beet salad, oh, great Irv, whatever you want to write.
And how about a shout-out to Rock Riley for that fantastic video he put together, Steve. Four and a half minutes. Really told the story of what went on that day.
Yeah, we've given him shouts, and Rock's been doing some fun stuff and more stuff yesterday from training camp on JoeBucksFan.com from Rock Riley. Okay, Ira, we promised a few questions from your readers, your faithful, and I have them.
He's holding up his
right
hands
here.
Like Ali put down Liston.
Well, he was just
get up, sucker, get up.
He was just had his fists all clenched there,
all balled up,
thinking of the hooligans who took his used beach chairs.
When's lunch showing up over here, Lee? That's my question. When this podcast is done, I want to dig into that baked chicken.
It's not long now, Ira. Actually, we're about 6 minutes from the typical lunch bell here at One Buck Palace. Ira, let's rapid fire through these, okay? Rapid fire the good folks. This is from Tampa Sports Freak. Is Godwin going to take snaps away from Humphrey since he is lighting it up in camp, or will he just keep DJ and Evans fresh?
He will absolutely take... snaps away from Humphreys. And I don't mean that as a great criticism of Humphreys. He did a heck of a job. He came out of nowhere, Lee. He's a fan favorite. But
is he?
I think he is.
He's a great guy.
He's a stick carrier favorite.
Yeah.
And he loves the stick carriers. But Godwin's the real deal, gentlemen. He's the real deal. Jameis is developing confidence in him. Something's got to give because Evans is going to get his because he's a first down machine. And yes. Jackson's going to get his on the long ball. But on third and seven, he might be looking for Godwin over the middle. He's another guy you throw the ball to, just like Evans. If he's covered, he's got a knack for coming down with that ball, Lee.
Humphreys is having a hell of a training camp. That's not a knock on anybody. He's having a hell of a training camp.
He's responded to the challenge. You know, he knows what kind of camp Godwin's had. He's not backing down, Steve.
And Humphreys is actually a great example of why our preseason games are extremely valuable. He's only in the league because he played well in preseason in the third and fourth quarter of games. And every year there's a guy like that. So he was that guy and a couple of years and ago, and here he is.
And that's an argument that these preseason games do have value, Lee. You know, it's not a great spectacle from a spectator standpoint.
Not at all.
But it's an evaluation tool, and it's necessary, Lee, because you got to make hard decisions at the end of August.
It's much better spectacle than the WNBA, or we could give many other examples. All right, Ira, we're going to rapid fire down here. Excluding Jameis, what injury to one player will have the most detrimental impact on this team if it happens? That's from Nick Ranzi. Or he's also known on Twitter as at Naughty Mr. Two, whatever the hell that means.
Naughty Mr. Two. Well,
that has implications.
I look at positions, Lee, in that case. I look at positions. I look at left tackle, Donovan Smith. Not great, but durable and reliable for the most part. I look at middle linebacker because they don't have anybody proven behind Quan Alexander. And the guy who I don't think gets enough cred in this respect is Brent Grimes because I expect a better year out of Hargraves, but he's not Brent Grimes. Grimes might have been the best corner in football. I mean, that sounds outlandish, but it's not crazy.
Can you pick one? Donovan Smith? Is that what we're going with?
I'm going with Brent Grimes. He's the glue back
there.
I'm
going to throw this in there and see what you think, but we got rapid fire. GMC.
You like GMC?
Well, he's the best player on the defense. We saw last year what happened when he went out.
Some fans are never going to warm up to him.
Well, I don't care if they like
him.
And
by the way, I thought he came off great on Hard Knocks. Came off great on Hard Knocks, personally and professionally.
You take, you know, that defensive line's not that great to begin with. You take him out. Ooh.
All right, Ira, let's fire over to, let's see, we already got to the missing beach chairs from Javier. Here we go, Ira. Dominic Hodgkinson asks, after seeing the battle, who wins the kicking job? He wants a name.
Nick Folk. I didn't hesitate. Nick Folk. Mostly because if they're close to being even, they go with the guy with the track record. Folk's got the track record. Do we have to talk about Aguayo's track record? 9 missed field goals.
Already went there. All right, Ira, that's the question portion of our event today.
Next time we meet, we will have a preseason game.
We'll have a
discuss.
Game to talk about, even though, you know, these things don't mean too much to you, these preseason games. It's important, man. There's some important stuff here. All right, Kaufman. This team, I just one last question for your sage wisdom. Rare do we get to tap you into this situation here. Here we are before that preseason game. And I know you say that they're not that important, the preseason games. And we all sort of acknowledge that. But where is this team right now? What is your feeling, your pulse of this? Does this look like a playoff team right now to you?
It's a confident team. It's a confident team that has embraced these high expectations. And I think Cutter's the right man to keep these guys grounded. Lee, you got to remember, for the most part, they're young. You know, yeah, there's a McCoy. Yeah, there's a Grimes. They're young. There's a Joe Hawley. There's an Evan Smith. I understand that. Jacquizz Rodgers. They're young. And buying into that hype is a danger. And it's an ongoing danger. We saw what happened last year. Off one freaking win, you know, in Atlanta. And it turned out Atlanta had a heck of a team. We didn't know it at the time. Isbits, you get credit for that. I said the Falcons had the look of a 5-11 team. You said they're a lot better than that. You turn out to be right. I'll give you one. That's one on your side, Isbits. But they're a confident team, and I think Cutter will keep them from being overconfident.
That's the sage wisdom. That's it. That's what we pay for. That's what, actually, this podcast is free, Ira. I'm sorry. Nobody pays. But you know what? The great Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they do pay, and we appreciate them. Check them out. We'll be back Tuesday with more sage wisdom. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Get out of here, Kaufman.